his wife. He's got his mother's eyes. There's gladness in his heart. He's young and he is wild. My only prayer is if I can't be there, Lord, oh Lord, protect my child.
Welcome to the very first edition of Parenting the Addict Child. My name is Layla Fatima, and I'm the host of Parenting the Addict Child here on Recovery Talk Network. It's 8 p.m. here in Los Angeles, and if you're listening to us on the East Coast, it is 11 p.m. for you. I am very, very excited to be here tonight as the premiere of this show. And I feel like it's been a long journey to get here. So for those of you that are listening and know exactly what I'm talking about, welcome. I feel like I definitely have the support of many, many parents who I've spoken to and those that I have not had the privilege to meet yet. This show has really come about as the result of being the parent of two amazing young men that live with addiction. And I found that everything that was out there was really geared towards the addict, the alcoholic, those that are using the drugs. And I felt that I needed to bring this dialogue open for parents. We need to have this community, this network where we can all get together and really just come out of the closet with this, if you will. So this evening, we will be taking calls throughout the show at 800-336-2225. And I encourage you, if you have something you want to share, an experience or anything like that when you hear us talk this evening, by all means, give us a call. If you find that the lines are busy, you can also email me at Leila@recoverytalknetwork.com. And that's L-E-Y-L-A at recoverytalknetwork.com. Boy, I tell you, this is just really exciting.
Well, I'm going to jump in here, if I may. Layla.
Well, excellent.
I'm Larry W., the founder of the Recovery Talk Network, and I can't tell you how excited I am and proud I am to have you as a new addition to the Recovery Talk Network here on CRN Digital Talk. You bring a class and an expertise that certainly I don't have. And I know there's so many people out there of the calls we've gotten who are looking for exactly what you're bringing. And knowing you as I've gotten to know you, I know you're going to bring this with yourself and your guests. And I just couldn't be happier and prouder for what you're able to bring and that we here at the Recovery Talk Network, as part of with you and CRN Digital Talk, that you're able to share this experience that, again, many people have and they need to hear about. So with you and your guests, congratulations and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Larry. I'm really glad you're here with me tonight. It makes it even more special to have you here with me this evening. This evening's topic is parenting myths, and we're going to be talking about marijuana and alcohol and how that has become so minimized and acceptable in today's society. And I have two amazing parents that are going to share their perspective with us as well this evening. George is a founder and CEO of his own company, and Debbie is a parent of four children. And they're both going to come in the next hour and share their perspective with us. And once again, this is Layla Fatima with Parenting the Addict Child. And there is also the website parentingtheaddictchild.com, and you're listening to us on Recovery Talk Network. We'll be right back after this.
Right here on CRN Digital Talk Radio.
Have you lost control of your eating? Is it hard to stop eating after one normal serving of food? Do you constantly think about food, your weight, and what you shouldn't be eating? there is a solution. Food Addicts Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who are willing to recover from the disease of food addiction. Learn how to maintain a healthy weight and live a happy life. There are no dues or fees for membership. For more information, visit us on the web at www.foodaddictsanonymous.org.
He is wise. He's got his mother's eyes. There's gladness in his heart. He's young and he is wild. My only prayer is if I can be there. Lord, oh Lord, protect my child.
Thank you, Tomas. Welcome back, everyone, to Parenting the Addict Child. That's Susan Tedeschi with Lord Protect My Child. And I have to say, that song, I would like to give a little kudos here to Tomas. I asked him, I said, do you think that's too heavy of a song to start with? And he said, it's a prayer. And I thought, that's excellent. That's exactly how I feel. Great song, especially for this topic. Tonight's topic is parenting myths, pretty much the rites of passage, and when is it safe for adolescents and teens to engage in alcohol and marijuana use. And my guests tonight are two parents. My first guest is a parent of four, and her name is Debbie. And I would like to introduce all of you to her and have her tell you a little bit about her background. Debbie?
Hi, Layla, and thanks for having me. And I'm so thrilled that you are doing this show. If you're a parent out there who is wondering if your child is struggling with addiction, or you know they are, there are so many of us out there, and I know when my whole world came crashing down on me, I only knew one person who had a child who suffered from addiction, and the isolation added to the pain and suffering and confusion and shame and all the feelings. So I'm so glad you're doing this, Layla, and that we can connect as parents and help and encourage and resource each other.
Wow, thank you, Debbie. You pretty much summed up why I'm doing this, because,
yeah.
You know, when you said that you just knew one person when your world came crashing down, and that isolation just seems to compound everything and make it worse, and that's something that we've all been through, and I want to do whatever we can to alleviate that for parents, because it's difficult enough dealing with what we deal with.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Debbie, I'd like you to share with us a little bit about your background and your experience. You know, if you'd like to, about your professional background, and then we'll go from there and talk a little bit about how you actually came to being a guest on the show tonight.
Sure, Layla. Well, presently I'm involved in trauma intervention and grief recovery. And I've been in helping professions for my entire life. To tell you a little bit about my family, like Layla said, I do have four children, and you might have looked at us, and we looked like the all-American family. We loved our kids tremendously. I read voraciously books on parenting and child raising and education and psychology, and we went on fun vacations together. We spent some years homeschooling, charter schooling. You know, we did all kinds of things to enrich the lives of our children. My husband and I enjoyed a very good marriage, a normal marriage. When we had problems, we sought help. We even went to counseling to help be better parents.
Wow, you did your due diligence.
Well, I just want to make the point that most all of us do the very best we can raising our children. And we love our children very much. And most of us, I think, would give our lives for our kids. And so we also, as we raised our kids, our faith is a very important part of our lives. And we believe that if we did all the right things, that we had a guarantee that our children would turn out well. And our definition of well would be to be healthy emotionally, have good relationships with their peers and other people, to go to a four-year college and have a productive life in the way that we saw it. And as we approached the high school years, my son, who'd always been a very likable, sociable, brilliant young man, just began to go through what we observed were some normal kind of teenage rebellion things. And we didn't, although it was difficult, I think any kind of rebellion in the teenage years or when children are trying to assert themselves and become adults, and that breaking away from parents and becoming adult is, I think, a pretty horrendous process for many teenagers. We tried to do the best we could as parents and just believe that he would make it through these years as we continued to try and be consistent with him and provide consequences and love him where he was at.
Well, you know what, Debbie? You have shared some amazing information, and I want to continue this, and we will be right back after this break.
You're listening to Recovery Talk Network.
Hi, this is Hector Luis Bustamante from the hit series The Shield. As an actor, image is everything. Well, I had considerable hair loss, and it jeopardized that image. Then I went to see medical hair restoration. I sat with the doctor. They explained my options, showed me photos. I even got to meet someone who had the same procedure. It was all education and zero pressure. And now, 9 months later, I look like I did 10 years ago, and my career is flourishing. If you're losing your hair, you've got some exciting options out there. And MHR is your total hair loss partner. From hair restoration to hair loss fighting products, even the new FDA clear laser technology. The only thing you'll be disappointed about is why you waited so long. Give them a call right now.
Write this number down. Toll free, 800-798-1929. 800-798-1929. It's not a question of if anymore. It's a question of when. When will you regrow your hair? Call now for your free DVD package. 800-798-1929. 800-798-1929.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0362. 1-800-410-0362. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0362.
I'm looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed. Oh God, it feels like forever. But no one ever tells you that forever feels like home. Sitting all alone inside your head. How do you feel?
Welcome back. This is Layla Fatima with Parenting the Addict Child. And our guest this evening is Debbie, a parent of four children, who just shared a little bit about her experience. And Debbie, you touched on several things that stand out to me, and it just really ties in with what we're talking about here, the parenting myths of normal teenage rebellion, things that you thought were really just an everyday occurrence with children. And with that, I'd like to bring in our next guest, who is George. George, are you there? Hi, George.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very well this evening. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
George, we have Debbie as a guest here this evening as well, and I wanted to bring you in on this too, because I want you to step in and share briefly with us a little bit about your background. And you are the parent of a daughter, and does anything about what Debbie is talking about, you know, doing everything that you thought was right, guaranteeing that healthy, happy child, does that ring true to you at all?
Oh, absolutely. And first and foremost, I'd like to say that I really appreciate that I've been given an opportunity here to come on the program, because this is such a worthwhile effort. And I think many parents, I think Debbie touched on this earlier, it's where do you turn to when you're at your rope's end? You've done everything you think you can do. You've done everything by the book. Invested all this emotion and all this effort into raising a child. You think you're doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden, life throws you a curveball. And,
yeah.
And that curveball, I got to tell you, is a tough one. And so where do you turn, and what do you do about it? And fortunately for me and my wife and my family, we found some help through a program called Al-Anon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been just kind of a godsend for me personally. As one member said it, it's our pain is divided, but our joy is multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel when I come to these meetings. And
yeah.
Originally, I came, I think, as most parents do, to try and fix my daughter, who's my qualifier. And I soon learned in the process that I needed to turn the spotlight on myself, and that's not always an easy thing to do. Not that I'm perfect, and not that I don't have my faults. We all do. But I thought I had done all the right things, you see, and that's just the part that was difficult to accept. I think in the first step they say, you know, there's when it comes to this addiction, I didn't cause it, I can't cure it, and I can't control it.
Right.
But I certainly probably contributed to a lot of the things that that probably made matters worse. And by trying to do all the things you mentioned, I have my own company. Well, I started my company 7 years ago, and I started trying to manage my relationship with my daughter as if I was managing an employee. And
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It works. You know. You know, the tools and the stock and the trade that I learned that made me successful in business, unfortunately, doesn't apply too well when you're trying to deal with your family, your daughter, your son, or your daughter. I mean, you try and apply the same principles that you were successful in a lot of those situations. It is about control, and you do have control and to a certain extent when you're an employer or when you own your own company. However, when it's your family and there's emotion attached to that, you have to approach the situation a lot differently. And that was so I had to unlearn a lot of things that I had learned in the business world to try and approach this in an entirely different light. And that's one of the things that I've had the benefit of being exposed to. And it's a process. It's certainly I am. You know, no expert, in this game, but I do understand that it just certainly has been a blessing in my life, and it's something that I know I will continue for the long haul.
You know, you touched on so many interesting topics there, George, and one of them, you know, control is an employer. And when we have our children, and I think, Debbie, you can relate to this as well, is that, you know, we hold their hand when they cross the street. We help them, you know, tie their shoes. We teach them pretty much everything they need to know to become somewhat self-sufficient. And then it shifts, especially when we're dealing with something as powerful as addiction and alcoholism. And I definitely want to touch on this more about the difference between control and influence, and then how marijuana and alcohol come into play with this. And I want you to both think about, on our break, when did you recognize that your children were involved in using marijuana and alcohol? And this is Layla with Parenting the Addict Child, Recovery Talk Network, and feel free to call us at 1-800-336-2225.
How do you feel? Where are your views on what you're hearing? Give us a call and share them with us at CRN Digital Talk. It's toll-free from anywhere in the USA, 1-800-336-2225. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-336-2225. Join us today on CRN Digital Talk. We're here for you, 1-800-336-2225.
I admitted I was powerless over my addiction, that my life had become unmanageable. I had tried to quit on my own, but it never worked. In Narcotics Anonymous, I learned that it is possible to stop using drugs.
Call Narcotics Anonymous. We can help.
Hello?
Mr. Johnson, this is Greg's cell phone calling.
My son, Greg?
Yeah, I'm with him all the time. I know what's up.
Yeah? What's up?
Well, the other night, Greg was at this cat's crib, and he was smoking a blunt.
What? I'll put the fear into that kid?
No, I meant the other dude. Greg passed.
Still, if he was there, let me talk to Greg.
Hold up. G's taking a test right now. I'm turned off.
And then how can...
Try us back after school. That's prime time.
Talking. The anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hi, this is Keith and Charmy Amber, just exploding with new perspectives.
And sound answers to life's tough questions.
Check out Mastering Ourselves on CRN 1, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern.
We're spiritual lifestyle experts offering an intriguing journey where you end up more at home with yourself, your behavior, and your understanding of life.
So come on.
You can do it.
Stretch into
the greater you
on Mastering Ourselves.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Layla Fatima with Parenting the Addict Child at Recovery Talk Network. And you can give us a call at CRN Digital. And the phone number again is 800-336-2225. And our guests this evening are George and Debbie. They both have children and some experience in dealing with addiction, marijuana, and alcohol. And tonight's topic is parenting myths. When is it ever safe for our children to use marijuana and alcohol? And George and Debbie, when would you say, and Debbie, I'll start with you first, when would you say you first noticed that perhaps your child was involved with marijuana, alcohol, or both?
Well, it was during the high school years that I was aware that he was involved in alcohol use, and we just thought it was a teenage thing. We had drank in high school, and we had gotten through that stage, and so we assumed that he would also.
Now, and when you say you drank in high school, are you referring to you and your husband?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and we, you know, were fine. We didn't come away with an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so we assumed he would just grow out of it until one day we got the phone call that our son had been involved in an accident where his car was totaled, and he had been arrested for DUI and was put in jail.
Wow. Now, how old was he when this event took place?
He was 18.
That's young.
At 18, you're charged as an adult. And so I personally still just thought I was in shock, but this was just a horrible consequence of a stupid teenage event. But two things happened. One was that the officer had told us that our son had a very high blood alcohol content level and was still walking around. And the second thing was that when we sat down with our son when he got back from jail and my husband confronted him about his alcohol use, he admitted that he needed help and that he could not control his drinking.
Wow, and he was able to share this with you at 18.
He was.
And that's, you know, wow, that's just amazing. I have to tell you, Debbie, that you are speaking to, I can't even begin the number of parents that have probably said the very same things to themselves. They really thought that it was just a really serious consequence for a stupid mistake. You know, he was 18, and for him to have the wherewithal to come to both of you and say that he just can't control his alcohol is amazing. Now, I want to ask you a question here. You said that you and your husband drank through high school. You came out fine, no addiction, no problem. Is there any history of alcoholism or drug addiction in your family on either side?
Well, and that is an interesting point, Layla, that I was going to talk about because, yes, there is a history of addiction on one of our sides, my husband and myself. But we always thought that if we did all the right things, that you don't just become an addict. In other words, we did not believe that there was an inherited propensity or gene for alcoholism. We thought that was just a myth.
Wow.
And as I faced the first, I went into just a horrible, horrible hole of shame and feeling failed my son, and to realize that this would be a disease he would live with his whole life was just horrible. And as I began to read and research, I found tons of clinical studies and evidence proving that there is a genetic link to alcoholism.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of our knowledge comes from experiential situations, and that's sad to say. George, how are you feeling about what you're hearing from Debbie in terms of being able to relate to it? Do you have a similar circumstance, or do you find that your situation was entirely different?
No, not entirely different, and I can certainly relate with a lot of the things that Debbie talks about in terms of the feeling of failure and feeling of shame, too. I mean, this is a disease that does go underground because of that. But my own personal experience was that my daughter was about 14 when I became aware that she had what probably was a drinking problem. She was 14. She had just gotten on the cheerleading squad at her high school. She was an AB student, as most of our sons and daughters with this problem. They're very intelligent, they're very creative, they're very charismatic. She has all those qualities.
Wait, I think you're describing my children. I don't think you're talking about charismatic, intelligent. And you know what? I want to pick this up where we leave off here, because 14 is really young. So I want to come back to that. Because it's just an amazing aspect, because, you know, both of my sons started when they were 13. And the grade aspect, it started to take a nosedive, but I definitely did see that propensity start at a young age. So when she was 14, you noticed that it was alcohol that she started with.
Right.
Okay. And we're gonna come right back to that. Once again, this is the opening night of Parenting the Addict Child with Recovery Talk Network, and we'll be right back after this.
Right here on CRN Digital Talk, NRN.
Digital Talk Radio, CRN. Do you eat when you're not hungry? Do you eat to escape? Is your weight affecting your life? Is your life affecting your weight? Can you answer no to these questions? Thousands of other people can't either. See, you're not alone. If you're concerned about your eating habits, your relationship with food, or you think you suffer from compulsive eating, contact Overeaters Anonymous. We can help. After all, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0362. 1-800-410-0362. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0362.
Hey y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks
and Dunn for RAD, Recording Artists, Actors and Athletes Against Drunk Driving. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence.
Get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you considering bankruptcy? With the new bankruptcy laws, you may not qualify. There is another option. Call Financial Freedom of America for free information and learn how you can have your credit card bills reduced by up to 60%. You never have to pay back a penny of the debt that is settled for you. Let Financial Freedom of America show you how their proven debt reduction system can save you thousands or tens of thousands. They are experts at negotiating debt settlements and can wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. You need to have $10,000 or more in credit card debt to qualify for this program. Don't suffer from the burden and hardship of your overwhelming debts any longer. They'll do all the work for you. Call Financial Freedom of America today at 800-781-9713. That's 800-781-9713. For your free consultation, call Financial Freedom of America now, 800-781-9713. Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Get ready for a toll-free number to Associated Tax Relief. Associated Tax Relief has helped others settle their tax debt with the IRS for mere pennies on the dollar. Associated Tax Relief's accountants, attorneys, and tax preparers are experts at negotiating with the IRS to settle your debt and put an end to the letters, wage garnishment, and hassles. In fact, the IRS is offering you a one-time opportunity to pay your tax debt for less than what you owe. You owe it to yourself to find out how you could save literally thousands of dollars on your tax debt by calling for a free consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation for this free tax consultation. Get the facts on how Associated Tax Relief can help you settle your debt with the IRS. Call now, 800-659-9787. 800-659-9787. Don't wait another minute. Call for your free consultation. 800-659-9787. 800-659-9787.
You know, we hear it over and
Drinking a whole bottle of whiskey and then blacking out, and then continuing to do this, repeating over and over and over again. And so we took her to see a drug counselor, and I remember specifically what he said. He goes, look, he goes, I can't tell you whether or not you're an alcoholic or not, but let me tell you my own experience. He goes, when I started drinking, he goes, I drank because it was fun. He goes, and then pretty soon I started having fun with problems. There were things that occurred, but I still kept drinking because it was fun. And then pretty soon it wasn't fun anymore, but I still kept drinking. And there were more problems. And so it was those negative consequences that was the acid test for determining, in his opinion, whether or not a person was an alcoholic or not. And he said, I can't speak for you. I don't know you that well yet. But he goes, it seems to me you've had a lot of negative consequences and you still continue to drink. Why is that? And that was
what a great question to ask.
That was the one thing that pretty much at least clarified it in my mind that she probably was an alcoholic.
Wow. And at such a young age. Debbie, I want to jump back to you here real quick. When your son was arrested and you said he was 18, was he currently still in high school or had he graduated?
He had graduated.
And he is technically considered an adult at this point.
Yes,
which is definitely a topic for a whole nother show when we're on that cusp of our children stepping into being a legal adult. But I don't really believe that they are mentally. I know that that's definitely a challenge versus when we have the adolescent under the age of 18. George, when you found out and your wife found out that this was occurring and she was engaged in some really serious, I mean, obviously not normal drinking.
Right. This
is way beyond that. And then you had this confirmation that you really believed she was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. What do you did it progress after that? Or did she stay with alcohol? Was it then just marijuana? Has it always been alcohol with her?
Well, actually, unfortunately, the more I learn about this disease, the more frightened I am of it, because mm-hmm. it's a progressive disease, and it does continue to get worse. The hope is that there is treatment through AA and rehabs and a lot of other venues, and that's the encouraging thing. But unchecked, it will continue to get worse. And even sometimes when you check it, and you have, as somebody told me, every day that a person is not drinking or not doing drugs, they have a reprieve of one more day of sobriety. And I think that's the situation in my daughter's case. Is while she was, it took her a long time to admit that she was an alcoholic. Eventually, she did get into an AA program, and she's working her program today.
Mm-hmm.
But along the way, she's had several relapses, and each time the stakes have gotten higher and higher because the drugs have gotten more serious. Cocaine was her next step, and most recently it was an OxyContin episode. So the stakes get much higher, the risks get much worse, and the disease continues to progress left unchecked.
Wow, and that's a great place to leave that at. We're going to come back to that, and I want to discuss that a little further here. This is Layla with Parenting the Addict Child, Recovery Talk Network, and we'll be right back after this.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom81.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom81.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 81.com. Freedom81.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide non-insurance medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies, regardless of your current health condition. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they may have been. You'll save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest health care networks in the country. To sign up or learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars on your health care every year, call Qualified Health. Call 888-600-3005. That's 888-600-3005. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have insurance or you're underinsured, call Qualified Health now. Call 888-600-3005.
I was born by the river in a little tent, and oh, just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Oh, welcome back, everyone, to Parenting the Addict Child with Recovery Talk Network and CRN Digital Talk. Feel free for callers to give us a call at 1-800-336-2225. This is Layla Fatima, the host of Parenting the Addict Child, and tonight's topic is parenting myths and when is it safe for alcohol or marijuana use in our adolescence. And my guest this evening, I just have to commend both of you for sharing your stories and allowing parents to hear that we have so many similarities and that when we come forward, we're able to really connect and get strength from one another. So I thank both of my guests tonight, George and Debbie. Debbie and George, we were actually discussing here some of your experiences with your daughter, George, and then I want to go to something that was very profound that I just thought of this evening as I was thinking about the topic, marijuana and alcohol, and how it's so minimized in today's society. And I think that's something that we can all agree on, that it's not something that is, you know, there's all the, you know, drug, alcohol campaigns and so on and so forth. But I have yet to speak to an addict or an alcoholic in recovery still currently using that started with anything like cocaine or heroin or meth, opiates, anything of that nature. It is consistent over and over again that marijuana and alcohol have been called a gateway drug or gateway drugs for that reason. And I think that your stories are an example to that. They're a testament to that. Debbie, your son was 18 when he was arrested. What happened to him after that? And how do you feel you and your husband were able to work through this now that he was an adult, still very new into his adulthood?
Well, as to his consequences, he immediately lost his driver's license, and he was sentenced. He had to get a lawyer. He was sentenced to a year of classes that he had to complete about addiction and recovery. He was required to go to AA meetings and be signed off on that. And as a result, I also found Al-Anon. As I mentioned in the beginning of the program, I only knew one other person who had had a child that struggled with addiction. And I would, with George, tremendously recommend that you're a parent out there that you go online to Al-Anon, Google Al-Anon, A-L-A-N-O-N, and find a parent support group in your region, your area. And what my husband and I found when we walked in there were not pitiful looks, not judgmental looks, not complete silence when we shared our story, but we found people who hugged us, who wept with us, who shared their own stories. And most interesting, too, they shared stories of beautiful, creative, charismatic children, not what we tend to think of our picture. I'd say my picture of addicts or alcoholics or people that are in the gutter, that are don't have much going for them at all, and that's why they turn to drugs. But these were, and parents who cared for their children tremendously and did everything for them. And so there was, we call it the fellowship of the broken, and sharing our own, as George has shared, our own recovery, that the best thing we could do for our children was to work on our own recovery, our own character issues, our issues of control and manipulation, and things that are rampant throughout our relationships, not just with our children, but were to the detriment of our children in their recovery. So through that, one of the consequences for my son, we learned in Al-Anon a concept of closing the bank. And I think previously we would have paid for every expense for my son, but we learned that to give our children dignity and respect, to let them be responsible for their own lives. And so he ended up having to sell everything he owned, including his car, to pay for his legal expenses, his lawyer, and he had to get a job to still support some. It's very expensive to be arrested for DUI or any drug arrest. It's very expensive. And so that was the beginning of the first year of consequences and him really stepping up to that, which was scary for us, but wonderful to see that he did step up and for us to begin to pursue our own recovery in a group of parents who are also suffering and wanting to grow and help.
Debbie, you said something that I thought was really interesting, that you closed the bank. You recognize that that's not something you could continue to do or support. And this was something that you and your husband knew to do immediately, because I have to tell you that that's a struggle that so many parents have. And that is our topic for next week, is relationships and finances with our children and setting healthy boundaries. And we'll definitely touch on that more in the next hour. And I want to come back to that subject of knowing when to close the bank, when to say enough is enough. And this is Layla with Parenting the Addict Child. We will be right back after this.
How do you feel? Where are your views on what you're hearing? Give us a call and share them with us at CRN Digital Talk. It's toll-free from anywhere in the USA, 1-800-336-2225. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-336-2225. Join us today on CRN Digital Talk. We're here for you, 1-800-336-2225.
I was searching for an answer when I reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous.
Surrounded by fellow addicts, I realized I was not alone.
Recovery is what happens at NA meetings. It is possible to stop using drugs.
Call Narcotics Anonymous. We can help.
Hello?
Hey, this is your cell phone.
Huh?
You know, you treat me like a kid.
What?
Oh, sure, you've cut the cord, but you don't realize how much I've grown up. I can do speed dial, text messaging, voicemail, video, wireless internet.
Yeah.
I can even help you keep your kid off drugs.
Keep my kid? How?
You talk to your son about not smoking marijuana, right?
Well, of course.
Well, some other people are telling him something different. Here, let's send him a text message. Ask him what he's up to.
Good idea. Let's do it.
Staying in touch. The Anti-Drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hi, this is Ms. Muggsy, your new psychic medium here on CRN Digital Talk. Call me Sundays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-336-2225 for live sensitive readings and a better understanding of life's challenges. That's me, Ms. Muggsy, Sundays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time right here on CRN Digital Talk.
Welcome back. This is Layla with Parenting the Addict Child. Sorry about that, Tomas. I didn't see your finger. I was looking at Larry's motioning for me to go or not. So
don't bring me into this.
I know. It's Larry's fault. Welcome back, everyone, to Parenting the Addict Child, Recovery Talk Network. And we are here now 5 nights a week. Parenting the Addict Child will be here every Thursday night. And our topic this evening is parenting myths. When is it safe, if ever, for our children to engage in alcohol and or marijuana? And I chose alcohol and marijuana because they are so minimized today. And as I've heard from both of my guests, George and Debbie, that it has definitely not been a trivial experience for either one of you. And what I'd like to do is just kind of hear from both of you how we'd like to leave our listeners as we come up into the top of the hour here, what some of your thoughts of hope are, and what you would like to be able to say to parents to give them that feeling of hope, and that, you know, it is difficult. And when we're dealing with marijuana and alcohol, that sometimes it's not a normal rite of passage, if it ever can be. George, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was just looking at the title again, and you've mentioned it several times throughout the show. It's What's Safe About Alcohol and Marijuana Use in Adolescence? And you know, I was thinking about this, and actually, if we substituted guns and bullets for alcohol and marijuana, I think that's about what I would think is safe.
Oh, amen.
It is a minimized, and I think alcohol is just socially acceptable, and that's probably one of the reasons it's minimized. And I think all of us experience a certain rite of passage, you know, growing up and drinking and moving through that whole thing. And I think marijuana is somewhat, maybe not quite as socially acceptable, but it is becoming tagged that way. And the danger, of course, in all of that is that it can be, I think we've maybe talked about this before in the past, Layla, is that a lot of parents might think, well, I'm going to allow my kids to drink, you know, as long as it's in my own home. Or, you know, well, they're going to go out and do it out there anyway, so they might as well do it here, so under supervision. And I guess my own personal view on that is that, again, would you put a gun with loaded bullets in front of them and say, well, we're only going to let you play with the gun under adult supervision? I think most parents would probably, you know, have an allergic reaction to doing something like that. Yet,
absolutely,
that's the kind of insanity, I think, that happens, you know, from time to time. And so, you know, for me, I think it's something you have to... I chose to stop drinking because in the beginning I wanted to lead by example for my daughter. But then now I've realized, you know, I don't miss drinking. It's probably a good thing.
I don't drink
so much.
Right.
But the long and the short of it is I think that's the other flip side. If you are, it's sending a mixed message to our kids by saying, it's okay to drink while you're here, but it's not okay to drink out there. I mean,
you know what? That is, you really nailed it. And I have to tell you, George, that that's our topic for the next hour is, you know, parents feel that it's safe in the home. And how can they say no to their children for something that they've done or that they're currently doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to delve into that because there's, you know, the social host laws and everything surrounding that. And the community that I live in, there is a large proportion of families that I hear repeatedly where they're, you know, as long as the children are in the home, then it's safe. And Debbie, I also I believe that you've had an experience with that. And when we come back after the 9 o'clock hour, I want to get into that a little bit more. And I want to say thank you to both of you for being here this evening. And before we go to break, what is the one sentence if you could share with parents out there to give them hope that they're not alone? And if this is something that they're seeing early on, what would you say to them, Debbie?
Well, I think you stated it, Layla. I would say you don't have to do this alone. And you may not be able to control, to cure, or to... I'm losing my last C. You can't control this disease, but you can have a life yourself that actually has satisfaction apart from what's going on with your child. And
absolutely,
you don't have to do that alone.
No, you don't. George, how about you?
Well, I think it's experience, strength, and hope, and that's what I get when I go to Al-Anon meetings and I hear the other parents share.
Well said, well said. And with that, the topic for the next hour is it ever safe to let our kids drink and use marijuana in front of us? This is Layla with Parenting the Addict Child and Recovery Talk Network, and we will be right back after this.